Hey, we're busy parents, so this is going to be a shorter podcast.
Shorter
today.
Podcast today? All right. I think we just spent 30 minutes off the air talking about the stuff we're talking about on the podcast.
I know.
Right?
We did. We did a really good pre-show meeting.
Yeah, but a good prep meeting there.
Speaking of doing prep work and trying to be prepared, homework. Mm. You're in the thick of it right now, Mark.
It gets worse and worse every year. Homework. I've never liked homework. Oh, what kid likes homework? I hate homework more as a parent than I did as a kid.
Oh, you're terrifying me because I waited later in life to have my daughter.
Yeah.
And by the time she's taking any sort of math that's, you know, involves more than a plus or a minus, whoo, mom's going to have to think way back in time as to how to do certain things.
Yeah. If there's even a plus or a minus sign left when you and Doug get to the homework, I don't know what they do now. I mean, I don't know what they do. It was easy enough. Like, I think it was the second grade math I was doing a couple nights ago, and it was subtraction. It was this number minus that number. So I did it, and you know how sometimes you have to carry like a 10, so it'd become a 9, but you'll carry the 1. You do all this. My daughter's looking at me and goes, what is that? I said, well, I'm carrying the number. No, we don't do it like that. Oh, yeah, how do you do it? And then they do this, and I'm going, this is insane.
What is that math called? There's a core.
I think it's the Common Core program. Yeah, yes. And there's all these different things. First off, I'll say it's very boring. The Common it's so boring. Like, you can't do anything in your head. You have to kind of... Aside from that, if you think what you did, like you never, you know how the old saying is, I'll never use this in life, which honestly came true for a lot of it. Let's be honest. I've never done geometry and, you know, anything like that, algebra. But this, you couldn't use this stuff. There are people at Harvard that won't use this stuff.
What about just at casual party talk, just a conversation with friends at a happy hour? Will you use it then when you're doing the tip, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, but that's easy, right? I always take, if it's 20% tip, right? Uh-huh. So I do the 10%. So what would be 10%? Let's say it's 30. So I know 10% is 3. You double it at 6. You know? And if they're really good, then I add a few more bucks to that. It's easy. Now, and what other kind of math do you do at a cocktail party? It's like one shot of vodka, one shot of this, one shot of that. There's your drink. Right? It's easy. But so it's very confusing. But then the amount of homework, and it's weird. I would feel like it's just as unfair for the teachers to give this homework than it is for the parents and the students.
Because the teachers have to grade this nonsense.
Yeah, and I'm just like, who's doling out all this homework? The other thing that drives me crazy is, what are we always told to do as adults when you find a job? To have a good life, to have a good afterlife. Not afterlife. After work life. Afterlife. Is to leave work at work, right? Don't bring work home with you. And it's not good. We all have stresses in our job, right? You have stress. I have stress. People listening, they do whatever you do. You have stress. But then these kids come home with all the stress of school in the form of homework. And I'm going, it really isn't fair. And then when you have like after school sports and social activities, maybe it's Girl Scouts, maybe it's, you know, baseball.
Right. What else do they tell us? Work-life balance.
Work-life balance. Yeah, you shouldn't get home. You shouldn't get home and then spend 20 minutes saying hi, doing whatever you're doing, and then jump right back to what you've been doing. Like, it just... I don't think people are productive that way with your job, and certainly not at school. I mean, my kids are tired when they get home, you know?
I feel like just thinking back to middle school, high school days, I was the kind of kid, I did my homework in class. So I don't know if that was good, but, you know, I'd be in French class and doing geometry homework. And so maybe not living in the moment. I need to work a little bit harder at that even today. But the point is, there wasn't so much of it that I couldn't get probably 75% done at school.
Right.
Breaks, you come into class, you sit down, you have a few minutes, and I'd get to work on my homework because I didn't want to do it when I got home. And I did have dance class and gymnastics
Were you a straight A student?
I was a good student.
I think, I will give some credit though, because I know there are a couple of teachers that my kids have that they have a policy, no homework. I think it's great.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went to the back to school, like orientation thing, one of the math teachers,
especially at the younger age, homework, right?
Yeah. And this was a sixth grade math teacher. And she said, I thought it was great. The way she kind of articulated it is, you know, we have a certain amount of time to get our work done. And she goes, I would rather teach kids to get that work done in that time than say, okay, get all the work done in that time. And then the penalty for that is to go home and do more work. She said, that doesn't make any sense.
Right.
I want to get these kids to focus and kind of peak perform in that 45, 50 minutes of class so that they realize how important it is to get to work and focus. I'm like, God, I love that. I mean, I think that's great for school and I think that's great for work.
Right. It's good for management.
Yeah. It's good for like companies and, you know, teacher employees and stuff. So I think it's good, but some of the homework that comes home is crazy. And being I think a lot of parents that are disadvantaged is if you didn't come out of the Common Core and some of the other things, you just flat out don't know how to do that.
Most of us have not because it's relatively new.
And that's not the teacher's fault because they have a curriculum that they have to install. Mm-hmm. I get that too. But everyone's just kind of stuck with their hands in the air. I'm sitting there. My wife's sitting there. The other kids are sitting there. Nobody really knows what's going on. I'm too embarrassed to email the teacher. But so I call some friends. They're like, oh, yeah, we deal with this all the time. They come home and it's like, you do arrive at the same number, mm-hmm. but it's the process.
Right.
They don't want you to go through that process anymore. And the kids, they're not allowed to go through that process.
You know what's strange is, so most people I talk to, you and I have the same thought process, and that Common Core doesn't make any sense. That's not how we learned it. And then Doug says that when he looks at Common Core, he said, oh, that makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
And he didn't do as well in math, or he did fine, but it wasn't his strong suit. But he does, I mean, you can ask him to add something up or whatever, and he's really quick. So it's funny. I think it does have to do with the way people process information.
Like right brain, left brain, maybe something like that.
Maybe
yeah.
so. But it just seems strange to go and wipe all this other, we've been doing it like this for a long time, and we've all figure out how to do math, and then we grow up and we use a calculator, we use an Excel spreadsheet, and we're good to go.
Yeah, and what's the other thing too? Like after you get out of college, like when you know you go work with somebody, and what do you always hear? Whatever it takes, mm-hmm. just get the job done.
Yes.
You have to deliver. Okay. But then if you do, but you didn't go about it the way mm-hmm. that they wanted to in this curriculum, it's not right. You'll get penalized. So it's a little, I think it's just frustrating. And I'm not saying that, you know, Common Core is right, wrong, whatever, because I don't know enough about it. I guess I'm just ignorant to it because mm-hmm. I didn't learn it. And I'm not going to learn it at my age.
No.
I'm not going to do it.
The only use it would have for you is if you could teach me.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. That's the funny thing. I thought about this the other day. I was like, pretty soon, parents are going to be hiring tutors.
Right.
No, for us.
Right. I know.
So that we can
explain
teach
it to our kids.
Is it
something you think that Common Core, is there any basis that has to do with like coding? Because I would have appreciation for it if the way that it made you think made you a better coder, because that's going to provide for a lot of careers. That's the direction things are going.
Oh, like cyber coding and stuff like that?
Right.
Well, if so, they're doing a terrible job marketing it, because I haven't heard that, and they should. They're dropping the ball. And even if it has nothing to do with coding, they should just tell us it does, so we'll buy into it. Because I like that. Then I'm like, oh, okay, you're learning to code. Yeah, I get this. You're going to be the next Mark Zuckerberg. I'm in. Do your homework all day, all night. More homework, please. I don't think it does, but it's a lot of homework, and I do feel bad for a lot of the parents, and I will throw myself up there sometimes too. Mm-hmm. And again, it's more of a frustration thing, but I do also feel bad for the teachers too. It's like, do you have to give this much? Because doesn't it hurt you in the end? You know what I mean?
Right.
Or are you just doing it to...
You're cutting off your nose to spite your face.
Yeah,
come on,
something
though.
Like that.
So it's funny. I didn't tell you this, but with our on the morning show a couple days ago, we had someone call in. And so she said she doesn't know what to do because she's getting so much homework from her kids are,
mm-hmm.
and she actually does the homework. So she was like, am I a bad person for doing this? Every single person who called in to respond said that she was bad for
doing that.
And I wanted to give her a little break because you know she's just trying the best that she possibly can.
I'm just ready to hand her Mother of the Year.
Right.
Yeah, now.
You don't know if the child is like, oh, mom, look at, you know, they're swamped. They've got different activities. And then I think to myself that maybe she has to get up early. And so, you know, if you're waiting for your child to finish their homework, is it just easier to go, give me that. Let me do some of this with you. You know, so I guess that made me in the minority. And I wasn't going to give her that hard of a time. But most of our listeners thought, no, she should not be doing that.
Yeah, well, everybody wants to pile on. You know, we're in the pile on,
mm-hmm.
you know, part of the generation of cycle of life where everyone wants to pile on. But what about a single parent
mm-hmm.
who works two jobs to keep the lights on and keep food? You know, I mean, maybe I'm not saying that that's what this is, but mm-hmm. think about that situation. What are the kids going to do? They're at home, you know, what about the parents that go to school at night?
Exactly.
That's a big thing. You know, I mean, maybe it's just like the kind of thing where I'll just do this for you
mm-hmm.
so we can actually have some quality time, or they don't do it and the kids can't get it done. I mean, it's tough.
There are a lot of choices you have to make. And then also if you're saying, you know what, I want my child to get a good night's sleep. How about that?
And that's something else we hear about,
mm-hmm.
you know, study after study is humans don't sleep enough. And it
starts when they're adolescents.
Right. And then, I mean, listen, sleep is a big deal. I mean, you start saying, you know, you hear about lack of sleep. I mean, there's major diseases that they can attribute to not getting enough sleep. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of scary.
It is scary.
Yeah, like what would I rather?
We've read the same stories, Mark.
Oh, I know.
We've read
the same
alarming stories.
Oh, I do.
We're sleep deprived.
It's my hypochondriac half brain that gets a little worried when I hear those things. But no, then you think to yourself, well, what would I rather my kid do for an extra hour a night? Sleep or just enjoy family time, like enjoy the house.
Sure.
Or get your head back in your books and, or it's not even books anymore. It's iPads and online and just keep, you know, crank it away.
Exactly.
I don't know if that's a quality of life. It would be like, you know, if somebody's husband came home from work and they spent an hour saying hi and then spent three or four more hours working.
Right.
You know, it's but you've worked for 10 hours a day. Like, what do you, like, where's the quality in that life?
And I think too, I do remember being one of those kids too, that you always have so much on your plate and I would have every hour occupied some activity or homework or whatever, but you do want that downtime just to be able to relax. So you just said something. I know you've had some internet issues this week when you said your kids on your iPads. I remember, no, Mark was dealing with internet issues. What happened?
I've been on the internet for 2 days. And every time I call, I won't say the name of the company. It's not nice to say the name of the company, but I really want to say the name of the company.
I think I know the company by you saying.
Of course you do.
Every time I call.
Everybody deals with it.
Every time I call them.
And it's the same thing. Unplug the back of the modem. Make sure the coax is in nice and tight. I mean, it's like, and it's to the point now when I call, I'm like, listen, I already know what the next screen says on your computer.
And then I know what
the one after that says and the one after that, one after that. Everything's done.
You know the pleasantries by heart, too.
I could work there, you know?
Yes.
And it's like unbelievable. But so we haven't had it for 2 days. And at night, I'm a little disappointed because it's really been an issue for the kids with the iPads. We usually get, and we've talked about this a couple podcasts ago, we give them some iPad downtime, right?
Downtime.
Yeah. And it's a kind of like when we were growing up when it was watching TV. You know, your parents, you're 30 minutes before bed, you know. And it has not gone well. It has not gone well because we're down to like, you know, DVDs or something that we've DVR'd or something like that. And they're missing Austin last night, who is in first grade, says she can't live without YouTube for one more day. And I said, what do you mean? And she goes, I need YouTube to relax. And I'm going, oh boy, this is not.
I would love to see what's on her playlist because I don't even know what. You know, what are they watching?
She watches a lot of the family. You know, it's a big thing now where like the families become influencers.
Okay.
And they start making products like arts and crafts or baking or you know, cookies or something. She watches these families do this together, these projects, these do-it-yourself projects. Of course, the families are getting rich because they're pimping out all the stuff.
And
you
the
know,
kids.
But the kids don't know that who are watching it. But yeah, the kids are too, the people on the videos. So
they're making crafts.
Oh yeah, arts and crafts, or they're trying on certain lines of clothes, or they're going to the beach and they're using beach toys. But it's all like it's
product placement.
Yeah, it's all. I mean, they're influencers, and so they're hired to do all this stuff. But the videos are very well done. They're very creatively done, and they're great for kids. And so that's a lot of times what she watches. So you know, it's actually brilliant because all my kids, they would just watch commercials on YouTube. That's all they watch is commercials. When I was growing up, I hated commercials. Now people love commercials because they're fun.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like people our age, only commercials we like are Super Bowl commercials.
Exactly.
On YouTube, every commercial is a Super Bowl quality commercial. So
and
the
then
kids
you
love them.
Have the pre-roll of the ad that you can skip the ad or you can watch it in its entirety, but it's kind of like a preview at a movie.
Right.
It's another great movie you might want to see.
You might want to see it. Yeah. So you get stuck watching that too. So it's been tough. I'm a little I don't know. Maybe I'm disappointed in myself because it seems as though the YouTube thing at night was a bigger deal than I thought, even though it was just about 30, 40 minutes. But when you start hearing
there's an addiction,
I can't relax without YouTube. I'm going, oh man, this is a problem. You know, now I can't relax sometimes when I'm not able to watch like football. When my DirecTV goes out, it's cloudy in Florida, the rain and I get kind of the shakes and stuff. And I think I'm normal. Maybe that's all this is and I shouldn't overreact, but yeah, and you're probably not there yet with your daughter with the reliance on iPads.
No, and we try to keep those away from her as far as video goes, but we still let her look at pictures of herself and of her friends or family, and she, I mean, when she sees that phone, she's like, she wants that phone to look at her pictures.
And she knows what it is. Yeah.
Absolutely. So it is a little distressing when you see that happen. I think there's something in the phones. I think there's some kind of, you know, addictive thing that we don't even know about, like a chemical or something that we're breathing it. And it just makes us want to be around the phone more because even when I have 20 minutes to lie down, if she's napping, I'm like, okay, Roxanne, you've done your chores. Lie down for 20 minutes. So I have to, like your daughter says, like Austin says, I need to relax. Mm. Let me look at some articles on the internet. How is that relaxing?
Why do we do that?
How is that relaxing?
And we all do it.
Yes.
I would much rather take a 30-minute nap, or our bodies, I should say, would rather us take a 30-minute nap. But then you're right. Next thing you know, we're 20 minutes in, and we're scrolling.
And I missed the nap.
And we're, yeah.
So stupid.
And what did you do?
Nothing.
Watched a bunch of people complain about politics.
Exactly.
Or you were searching things on Amazon that you just don't really need.
No.
You know what I mean?
I know.
Yeah. So between homework and no internet for a couple of days, I was like, man, I need a break.
I know.
I just need a break.
Yeah, I bet. Well, that's technology for you. It's to our detriment. I mean, it helps us in so many ways, but then also it can make us not as good at things that we used to be able to do. This is a proven fact. For example, if we're driving in a car and we're trying to find our way somewhere, Mark and Roxanne of 15 years ago had a good sense of direction. But we don't have that ability as much anymore because we have all the different apps.
We can rely on different things.
Right.
Yeah. And when you know that, the sensory is like you're less apt to, to have that, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And then I say to myself, well, do we go more places now? Because it is so easy just to plug it into our phone or our car to figure out where we need to go. Do we go more places now? Do we travel more, move around more? Maybe a little bit. But we still got around just fine before. And we knew it was like, hey, Roxanne, you got to check out this restaurant. It's in South Tampa. Where is it? Howard. Okay. It's right by. It's on the corner where the drink is. And then I have those pictures in my mind. Now we don't have those discussions. We're not interacting like that.
Yeah.
It's like, here's where we're going. Okay, Roxanne, you be a big girl and figure out how to get there. Great. That's fine. But in the meantime, I'm not paying attention to my surroundings, my lefts, my rights. I'm just listening to my girl tell me which turns to make.
Right.
And show up, and there I am. So that part of your brain, they've shown that it's actually, I don't know if atrophy sounds like a pretty strong word, but I think it's less activity because of our reliance on these sorts of apps.
Gosh, you got deep, Roxanne. You got deep. Now I'm really, I'm closing my eyes. I'm trying to really figure this out here.
You're going to go to the gas station next door before you leave, get an old-fashioned map, and just find your way home like the cavemen did, right?
It's interesting you say that because, I'm not going to do that. But if I had to, how frustrating would that be? It's kind of an interesting weekend thing. I wouldn't want to do it, but maybe a couple without kids. Like, go buy a map and pick somewhere to go like 2 hours away and only use the map. That could be like the Amazing Race, you know? But you're only going 2 hours away, you know?
I know. And then buy a magazine of wherever you're going that has different restaurant reviews and read those instead of Googling and going to Yelp and
this is amazing.
Looking
like,
online.
Yeah, I was thinking the other day, I was looking down and I was looking at the little cigarette lighter in the car, you know, which is what the adapter plugs into to power your iPhones. And I'm going, man, when I was a kid, I used to watch people use that to smoke cigarettes with. Now, our kids watch us plug them in and this box talks to us.
Like, I know.
It's incredible when you think about it. You know what I mean? Like, you remember driving around and people would be smoking in the car and that thing would pop out and they'd light their cigarette, you know, but you only had like 3 seconds. You know, I would count, like, you know, the people would pull it out and I'm like, you better hurry up, light that thing up, you know, we'll be doing this again. And you had to wait like another minute for it to heat up.
And cool down before you could plug it into heat.
Now,
it up.
Yeah. That same little circle powers the box that tells you where to go. I'm like, it's incredible. It's incredible.
It's so helpful, but then making us so lazy.
I know.
So, okay. So I think of all these ways that technology hurts us. I'll give you another little example. Quick story. Went to have brunch over Labor Day weekend. Went to a great place, but we walk in and I had logged on to the app so that I knew how many people were in front of me. So I check in. They say, check in as soon as you get there.
Oh, so this place has their own app where you check in?
Yes. I think it's part of Yelp. But
man, y'all are eating fancy.
It was a nice place.
Yeah. What was it called?
Well, I don't want to say because I'm about to complain about the service.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So,
see, they're too focused on apps. Less focused on service and too much apps. They're terrible.
Seriously. We walk in. I tell the girl. She was so nice, but we said, we're here. I said, I've got Doug, my daughter. We'll take the first available. You know, there are two people in front of us on this app, but we want to tell you, check in. That's what you're supposed to do. You check in. I said, we'll take the first available. If you have a booth, we'll stick her in between us. If you have a table, we'll put her in a high chair.
So you're just...
So had this interaction.
Easy breezy, just get us in.
Right. Because everybody in the family is getting a little low blood sugar at this point. We waited too long. Because breakfast, you eat early, you eat it on time.
Right.
Then you wait for brunch, then everyone hates each other.
Yeah.
So then we go and we're sitting at the bench, which is within spitting distance of where she is at the counter. And so we watch person after person get seated and we're like, what is going on? And it's not changing. The app isn't changing. It just says one person ahead of you and it hasn't changed from that, or it says you're up or whatever. And so she told us it'd be 5 minutes. It ends up being 25 minutes. And finally, I walk up and I said, I'm sorry, but...
And with a kid's like a year.
Oh,
I mean,
yes.
I mean,
yes.
It is. It's a year.
You can't, exactly.
Yeah.
You can't overpromise.
Right.
You have to underpromise. And so I go up and I tell her, you know, it's been a little while. She goes, oh, I'm sorry. I texted you a while ago that your table was ready. So think about this. I'm getting ready to eat with my family, so my notifications are not turned on because I don't want to be disturbed during the meal with my family. So you texted me, but you can see me that I'm a foot away, and you see the family with the daughter and da-da-da-da-da. So I think we've
She realized she sent a text and just and you never responded, and you were just happy to sit there, and she was going to let that happen?
I don't think she made the connection. When people talk to people, they don't take those powers of observation and utilize them. Okay, this is the person who, you know, they don't make those connections anymore as often because there is that reliance on technology.
That's the new common core communication where you send texts and then you just kind of shut down until you get a text back.
Well, her tip reflected it because, the common core math is what we use to calculate.
Oh, did you? Yeah.
No.
Was the food good?
Fine. The food was great.
Oh, that's good.
It was fine.
She
was a sweet girl. Yeah. It just made me think, come on, just open your eyes, look around you. And I say that to myself all the time too, because I'm very guilty of it.
A lot of restaurants now, though, I see, and I don't know that I agree with this, but they're giving you a discount if you put your phone. I guess you walk in, they have like a box. If you put your phone in there, you get like a little bit of a discount.
Wow.
So
I didn't know about the box, but I knew that there are a lot of restaurants that
Or you put your phone away. I don't know what it is. If you don't have your phone at the table, they're giving you like a little bit of a discount. Of course, if you've got kids at home and a babysitter, there's no way you're putting your phone away. Mm-hmm. And that's a little crazy to expect people to do that.
I know.
Because, you know, for everything we complain about, phones are some really great uses, obviously. Yeah, to have somebody text you and they're watching you wait with a child, you know, like you enjoy this.
And I think I was probably giving some, not dirty looks, but perturbed looks, you know, shooting some daggers towards that area.
100%.
Yes.
100%. Well, it's not like before kids where it's like, yeah, we'll just go to the bar. I hope it takes a long time.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Oh,
I remember
I know.
It's like, our wait's
coffee.
An hour.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, can you make it too? We'll be at the bar. You know what I mean?
I know.
Whatever.
I know. Even in the morning, even for brunch, you have a Bloody Mary or you have coffee and just enjoy yourself. So you have Alexa in your home, right?
Yep.
How does that work out for you guys?
I love it. I mean, I think it's cool. You know, the kids have figured it out. So
do you have the kid-friendly Alexa or do you have is there a difference? I feel like there are two versions, but if you're a good parent and you're around your kids, I would imagine that you can kind of make sure that they're not asking Alexa things they shouldn't. Mm. But I feel like I heard there was a kid version.
I don't want to assume that in my house, although I probably should have maybe looked more into that. No, I think we have the regular, like we just, but I mean, I'm not asking anything crazy. I just want her to like play music and that kind of stuff.
So that's all she really does.
I think we disabled after the first week, actually, I know, the shopping feature where if you ask her to buy something, it needs another notification or has to get an email back or something like that. Because I think somebody said to buy something and she's like, purchasing now. And I'm like, no. Because you can do that, which is scary.
I mean,
yeah. So the Alexa works good. You know, they'll get into fights sometimes if they're listening to music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, someone will say, play Eric Church. And then in the middle of the song, someone will say, play Kenny Chesney. And they're like, no, my song's not over yet. And then they go back and forth. Overall, I think it's pretty cool. Yeah, I kind of like it.
What about their manners when they're talking to Alexa? Is it like, hey, do this, please? Is it barky? And the reason I bring this up because we were staying at a friend's house. And
I don't
she,
say please to Alexa.
Right.
Here's why.
But how does that go?
Because I'm a client.
Okay. So Alexa works for you, essentially.
Well.
So you're going to tell her what to do.
Wait a minute. That sounds terrible. No. We pay for the internet service. You had to buy the box.
Okay.
And to have a Prime account is $10 a month or $12 a month or whatever. So I overmanner my kids as far as teaching them pleases and thank yous and stuff. However, if I want Alexa to play a song, I do not say please.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. It's
that's a great topic.
It's
is it rude not to say please?
Well,
God, now I feel guilty. I've never said please to Alexa.
No, we were
she thinks I'm horrible.
With some friends. And so we're having this, they were friends of Doug's. I'd never met them. So nice. And we're having this great conversation and we're staying at their house. And right in the middle of the conversation, she's like, Alexa, how many cups of sugar do I need for this? And like screamed it at her. And her voice changed from this nice civil hostess to, barking at Alexa.
Maybe. Yeah.
And then I hear my own self. You know, if I'm talking to Siri, I'm so, Siri, dude, because you have to speak in such a way.
Yeah, you're always mad when you're talking to Siri. It's different, I feel like.
Okay, Siri, is Siri, Alexa easier?
Siri got a bum rap. When you talk to Siri, it's like an emergency, or you're trying to figure out something you don't want to figure out.
And she can never get it right, in my opinion.
She can never get it right. Mm-mm. Yeah, she, you know. But Alexa, I feel like, is more social.
Okay.
I don't know why I feel that way.
That's interesting.
Yeah. But I've never said please or thank you to Alexa.
Well, now I've given you something to think about.
Do you say please and...
I don't have Alexa.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I don't have Alexa because I don't want all of us barking at an inanimate object.
Right.
I'm super old-fashioned. But now you've given me something to think about because it does allow you that flexibility in playing some music. And I just kind of need to be a current woman with current technology.
As your child gets older, too, I think there's kind of some fun stuff, like some trivia stuff that the kids...
Oh, that's good.
You know, that they can get into with that.
Mm-hmm. And I think there is an element of improving or engaging the auditory learning and the auditory exchange.
Yeah. Yeah. So. No, absolutely. I'm still stuck on the, I think I'm pretty
please
rude to Alexa.
Okay, well, you go home and you be nice to her.
But it's like your friend.
Please.
I'm going to go home and apologize to her. I'll record it. I'll say, dear Alexa, I realize I've never said please or thank you and I want to apologize. I wonder what she'll say. But on the flip side of it, like your friend was talking about, what was it? How many cups of sugar?
I don't know. It was some sort of cooking instruction that she was hoping to get from her.
But I don't know if you asked that from a regular person, if you'd say please or thank you. Like, I don't want to over-nice Alexa either.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want her to get too smart and expect too much.
Okay.
I have a wife. It's enough. I got enough. I gotta focus on it. You know, I can't have Alexa starting to get all important to me. You know what I mean? I don't want her to get too important.
Alexa, sweetheart, would you mind playing some Kenny Chesney? Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you know, I don't want it to get too. And Alexa, here's the thing. She can only do so much for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to remember that. You know, Alexa, open a beer. It's not happening.
No.
You know what I mean?
She's not going to.
Alexa, you know, can you go watch the kids for a few minutes? I need to take a nap. Not happening. You know, no Alexa's limits. Don't buy into the
hype.
So
you don't need to be so polite because she's only going to do so much for you, basically.
But it's funny though, with the kids and everything, that is interesting because there are people who I know depend on their Alexa for everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if the kids, like you said, they might pick up habits.
Right.
If they see them barking it all day, so... I should maybe tone it down a little with Alexa. But I think I'm polite to her. I just don't please and thank you.
Well, you know what? It sounds like you're please and thank youing the kids.
Yeah.
With real people interaction. So
we do
good.
That a lot. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm big on that. Big on manners. I think it's important, obviously. But
I cannot get my daughter. She's talking quite a bit. I cannot not get my daughter to say please, but she will rub her. It's a sign language sign. She'll do that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so, they rub their bellies and stuff. And some schools are teaching, like, you know, some schools teach that generally. You know, like,
right.
I forget what the symbols for water, but I remember, you know, kids, they need water. Visuals for a podcast don't work so well. So,
no.
But we're doing like, we're doing hand puppets. We're doing things with hand puppets. So, just so you know, trust us.
You know what else? As far as podcasts, it doesn't work as well. You can't actually enjoy aromas and tastes of food, but oh, that's good pizza. Have you had some of this?
Yeah, I had it. Oprah Winfrey, who at one point, you know, may just dominate the entire world.
She does everything.
Man, she could do it. And everything she does is gold.
It is.
Right?
Yes.
It's, oh, that's good. I will give her credit. She could have just said it's Oprah Winfrey's pizza.
Mm-hmm.
But she goes, no, I'll just go, oh, that's good. The pizza's good. Here's why.
It is.
No, it's good. Because everyone struggles with getting like vegetables and everything in their kids' diet. And my wife cooks like every meal. And she's really big on, you know, cooking.
Oh, that's fine.
Working out and stuff. But sometimes you have to fool the kids. But Oprah,
with vegetables, you have to sneak them in there.
You have to sneak them in sometimes. Like, you know, we do purees and things like that. Oprah did a good thing where a third of this crust is cauliflower.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've had full cauliflower crust pizza. Have you had that?
Yes.
It's a little too cauliflower-y for me.
Cauliflower-ish.
Cauliflower-ish.
I don't know which one it would be, but yes,
yeah,
too much.
It's a little cauliflower-y. But the thing about what Oprah did is she just put in a third. And the taste...
It's a good flavor.
Yeah.
And it's a good consistency.
Right. And so we give it to our kids and they don't know the difference. You know, like you give them a piece of the pepperoni. Oh, that's good.
The pepperoni was delicious.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then it's like, oh, a third of this is cauliflower.
Mm-hmm.
So you feel like you're kind of one-upping them a little bit.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So it feels pretty good. Good way to get in there. But man, congrats to Oprah.
Mm-hmm.
She does it again with oh, that's good frozen pizza. You know, we talk about it and it's in the morning and I'm like, man, now I want pizza to eat. you know, and this is when we're doing our radio jobs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
6 o'clock in the morning, and I want some cauliflower pizza. Oprah has done it again.
You know why Oprah's succeeding at everything?
Well, I have.
She doesn't have kids. She doesn't have kids to worry about, too.
You think she says please to Alexa?
Probably not.
I bet Alexa says please and thank you to Oprah. You know what I mean? Like, thanks for having me connected in your house. I really appreciate it. Seriously, you could have picked any other model, and you picked me. Thank you. Your pizza's great, by the way.